Welcome to installment 115 of Sefer HaMitzvos from the Rambam. Today's portion contains four commandments relating to the Nazir, a person that takes a Nazirite oath. Two involving the prohibition of eating grape byproducts, prohibition 205, not to eat the pits of the grape, and 206, not to eat the skins. And two relating to his being prohibited to make himself impure through contact with the dead body. Prohibition 207, the general prohibition, and 208, not to enter under the same roof where a dead body is. Today's portion, as that of the last few days, involves the laws of a Nazir. A Nazir is one that has made a Nazirite oath by promising for a certain period of time to refrain from wine and grape products, also not to cut his or her hair, and also not to come in contact with a dead body, just as the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, does. We have discussed in yesterday's shir that there are three prohibitions, one for grapes, one for raisins, and one for wine and other sort of grape beverages. The first two prohibitions relate to any parts of the grape. In the book of Numbers, chapter 6, verse 3, the verse states that one may not eat from any part of the grape. Mecharzanim ba'adzog lo'yechel. One may not eat the charzanim, which are the seeds inside the grape. Ba'adzog, zog are the skins outside the grape. The prohibition not to eat the seed is prohibition number 205. And the prohibition against eating the skins is prohibition number 206. In commandment 206, in this prohibition, the Rambam explains how he knows that there are five separate commandments and not more or less. He quotes the Mishnah and Gemara in Tractate Nazir, which states that there are five separate sets of lashes which a Nazir has to suffer for transgressing on these commandments of eating the different parts of the grape. Therefore, says the Rambam, if one ate grapes and raisins, including the skins and the pits, and also squeezed out the grapes and separately drank the juice, he would get five sets of lashes. This shows us, says the Rambam, that there are five distinct prohibitions, since one cannot incur more than one set of lashes for a single prohibition. Why should vinegar not be considered a separate prohibition? As we discussed in yesterday's portion, the Rambam mentioned that the verse says chemetz yayin. It does not say vinegar and wine. Rather, the verse says vinegary wine. Therefore, we see that vinegar is a subcategory of wine. The Rambam adds, in this mitzvah today, another proof that although the Talmud discusses other possible prohibitions that the Nazir might have transgressed, such as the general prohibition against violating an oath, the Talmud does not even discuss the idea of a separate prohibition for vinegar. From this we see that the Talmud does not even consider the possibility, and it is just a subcategory of the prohibition against wine. Since originally it was prohibited as wine, even after it is spoiled, it remains prohibited. In this rather extreme prohibition against eating skins and seeds of the grape, we have a very deep and very practical lesson for all of us. Our sages advise the Nazir not only to keep away from the grapes, but not even to walk through a vineyard. Do not tempt yourself, say the sages. Distance yourself. Keep yourself away from a possible prohibition. This is a good piece of advice for all of us, that we must make a rope, make a fence around the Torah, not only to keep those laws minimally and do the absolute minimum what is required, but in order to keep from transgressing a prohibition, we must keep away from all other things which might lead us to go and transgress the prohibition itself. As we mentioned, there are three general categories which are important for the Nazir. One has to do with grape products, a second has to do with cutting his hair, and the third has to do with contact with a dead body. The final two commandments of today's shir involve this last prohibition. We have learned previously that a Kohen and a Kohen Gadol, the priest and the high priest, have certain prohibitions against coming in contact with a dead body. A regular Kohen can come in contact and participate in the burial of his close relatives, but not for anyone who is not a close relative. The Kohen Gadol, the high priest, may not even participate in the burial of a very close relative. The Nazir, by virtue of taking his Nazirite vow, takes upon himself the prohibitions of a Kohen Gadol, that just like the Kohen Gadol is prohibited from coming in contact even with his family's dead body, so too the Nazir, as it states in the same chapter, verse 7, that for his father and his mother, his brother and his sister, lo yitamo lahem b'meisam, he must not ritually defile himself or make himself tummy when they die. This is the same prohibition which applies to a Kohen Gadol, and this is prohibition number 207, that the Nazir is not allowed to become tummy even for the death of a close relative. Verse number 6 in the same chapter gives a closely related prohibition to the Nazir. This verse states, Al nefesh meis leyove, that he must not enter, literally, or must not come upon a dead person. This, says the Rambam, comes to teach us a separate prohibition, prohibition number 208. This prohibition is coming under a tent, or coming under a single roof with the dead body. As we know that there are two ways in which a person can become tamei, impure, through coming in contact with a dead body. There is physical contact, and there is also entering under the same roof as the dead body. This is the reason why Kohanim are not allowed to enter into hospitals in general, since we fear that there might be a dead body in the morgue, or as is more common today, the pathology unit could have certain limbs which also convey this impurity. Therefore, the Nazir has two prohibitions. One, in general, not to become tamei or ritually defiled through contact with a dead body, and a second prohibition upon not becoming tamei through coming under the same tent or the same roof in which the dead body is present. If there is already a prohibition against becoming ritually defiled, why is there a separate one for becoming ritually defiled in a certain manner through coming under a tent or a roof? In many cases, the Rambam explains that a person can incur two sets of lashes through violating two separate prohibitions. Here, however, the Rambam gives a technical explanation that under normal conditions, we might think the Nazir would get only one set of lashes. To understand this, we need a little background to the laws of Tumas Oyel, of the way in which a tent conveys impurity. When a dead body is under a certain roof, the entire structure is considered to be full of this impurity. When a person should stick even a tiny piece of his body into this tent, he receives upon himself a certain type of impurity. However, a normal Tumas Oyel, the impurity which is conveyed by a tent, is only conveyed when the person's entire body, or the majority of his body, enters the tent. Therefore, let's say a person should walk into a tent in which a dead person is present. As soon as his nose or his little finger should enter into the area of the tent, he would automatically become impure. This the Rambam explains in his legal code. The Nazir that did this would therefore be transgressing on prohibition number 207, not to become ritually defiled with a dead body. Then, when it's 1 second later, his whole body, or the majority of his body, should enter the tent, we might think that he would transgress on the second prohibition, of entering a tent where a dead body is present. However, the Rambam tells us that two prohibitions in this case can only become effective when they both are incurred at the identically same moment. Only when they happen at the same time can both of them be applied. Therefore, in this case, as soon as a small part of the person's body has entered the area of the tent, he has already become impure. He has become ritually defiled as a result of prohibition number 207. Lo yitama, one may not become tummy. The idea of tumas mace, of the impurity of the tent, only can take place a second later, and then it is too late. How then, explains the Rambam, can a person come under the both prohibitions at the same time? The Rambam explains that both prohibitions can possibly come at the identically same moment. This could be when a person enters a tent in which a dying person is present. At the moment the person passes away, then the Nazir automatically transgresses both prohibitions, because he has become impure, and he has found himself in the tent together with a dead body, both at the identical moment, and therefore he transgresses both prohibitions. Why was this prohibition imposed upon the Nazir, and that he is prohibited even from close relatives, not just like a Kohen, a regular priest, but a Kohen Gadol, the high priest? As we have explained in the past few days, the Nazir desires to control his emotions and sanctify himself and raise him up to a high spiritual level. This can be compared to the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol must always direct his thoughts and his emotions to the service of his Creator, even when other people would be in mourning, such as upon the loss of a close relative. A Kohen Gadol must remain totally and entirely and constantly bound with his Creator, that all of his being is involved only in serving God. The Nazir who desires to sanctify himself and raise himself to a high spiritual level also brings upon himself this same degree of holiness. And therefore, since he desires to totally direct his entire being towards God, he is also forbidden to mourn, and he is, in association with this prohibition against mourning, prohibited even from coming in contact with any dead person, and even with the closest relative. To conclude this discussion of Nazir with the statement of the Rambam that if a person makes a Nazirite oath upon condition that it becomes effective only on the day Mashiach comes, he is immediately forbidden from drinking wine and from coming in contact with dead bodies. The reason is this, says the Rambam, that Mashiach could come any single day. And even though he has made his Nazirite oath conditional, nevertheless the condition could come upon himself immediately, since Mashiach could come at any moment. Let Mashiach come now and bring us speedily out of the exile. Thank you for tuning in to the daily portion of Sefer HaMitzvahs. For more information or to sponsor a share, contact Sichas in English at area code 718-778-5436. And please join us again tomorrow.